Welcome to the For Money Audio Commentary. This is David Fuller on Friday, the 21st of July, recording at 9:35 p.m. British Summer Time. Oh my goodness, I'm missing the Tour de France highlights. Well, I'll catch the end of it, no doubt. Now, first, this being Friday, this is the big picture long-term outlook for the various asset classes. And first, though, I start with a quick review of the week. Stock markets, after easing on Monday and Tuesday, we had some upward dynamics on Wednesday following Ben Bernanke's comments, and that led to a follow-through rally in Asia on Thursday, but then subsequently we have seen some drifting partial retracements of those gains, with the Nasdaq right back on its low after a down day in here today. Government bonds, quietly steady. The U.S. dollar, this is important, down again today. Bernanke's comments, in my view, really, as you know, really were intended to soften that U.S. dollar. As I said on a number of occasions in these audios, that the last thing Bernanke or the Hank Paulson at the Treasury or the Bush administration would want would be to have a softening economy, which they have, plus an appreciating currency. And they have succeeded in sandbagging the dollar here, and I do think that is important. But it is not having any effect on the precious metals in the short term, and that's led me to conclude that there's a little bit of G8, well, it'll probably be just the US and possibly the EU doing a little bit of clandestine influencing of the gold market here. And this is a subject that has been coming up since the May highs and that reaction. And I've written a piece on it, so I won't go any further into that today. But suffice it to say, we have seen the dollar fall back on some significant signals here, key day reversals starting on Wednesday and continuing through the rest of the week. So good follow through, indicating that the dollar's rally that we saw within its gradual ranging decline from the November high, remember that important peak, that despite that, this time unusually precious metals are not responding. Now that's a temporary situation, and I think what it really means for those of us who are interested in bullion is that it's creating another buying opportunity. And again, were I not taking this post-operative and it was both pre and post operative, and also pre holiday break here. Now it's time for me to remind you that next week is my last week in the office before a 3 week holiday. That I would be nibbling again in the gold market here right now. Now this is not a time to be aggressive in the markets. As you know, we have this medium term correction underway, and there's a contagion factor here overall. This was supposed to be a review, and let me get back to the, we'll move on to the energy markets where we had that upside failure for the oil price, and that made me feel that we could see a test of the lower side of the range, which would take oil back down to 70 and possibly a little bit lower. That's still a possibility, although it has firmed up in here. In here recently, and that's pretty much it on the highlights. Industrial metals a bit mixed in here today, maybe mostly a little bit easier now, and also on the week. Now where are we in terms of the big picture? Well, this is very much the medium term correction, the predictable medium term correction for 2Q and 3Q of this year. And I see no evidence that it's over, although I maintain, as I have following those June reaction lows, that we had seen the worst of it. But whether that gave me a lot of latitude, I may be candid in that about that comment. If I say it's seen the worst of the decline, that can be everything from, well, it's already just about over, or we've seen over 50% of it. Now, I think it's closer to the former rather than the latter. And in other words, I don't think they feel that there's a great deal of downside, additional downside risk. But as I described in today's comment of the day, we're still in this sort of meteor belt here where people are worrying about various different factors, including interest rates, and there's the uncertainty over GDP growth that the rise in interest rates has created. There are the oil prices that they're concerned about. There's the related to the economic slowdown, there's the inevitability of some mean reversion in terms of corporate profits, and there are the adverse or unfavorable seasonal factors to consider. The momentum players, as I've repeated over and over again, are out of the market, and the bargain hunters are saying, yeah, there's value out there. One reason why I don't think it's a bear market, incidentally. But they're saying, what's the hurry? Here, let's wait and see what happens over the next few weeks. And I certainly advocate that view, sympathize with that view overall. But I don't think we have the environment for a bear market. But you can bet that as we see some of these indices reach new reaction lows, which they inevitably will, you can bet that sentiment will deteriorate and more people will be talking about a bear market. And another point about which I have to be absolutely candid in here, until it's over, and I see no evidence that it is over technically, in other words, that's looking at the charts, until I see technical evidence that this correction is over, what I have seen are some good upward dynamics which suggest that the supply-demand balance is evening out quite a bit, although there's not enough upside follow-through to indicate that demand is back in charge. So until we get some clear evidence that this correction is over, I will remain cautious. And I do know that during this temporarily risky period of the medium-term correction, and as I've said on a number of occasions all along, that the extent and timing of this reaction would be in the hands of central banks. So if they overreact, as some people fear, then markets go lower before they bottom and possibly stay down a little bit longer. Now, I don't think they will overreact, certainly not the Fed, given Bernanke's comments last Wednesday, and it was my view before Bernanke's comments. But you can never be sure with central banks. So if I have to revise my script, and I'm not sort of introducing a hedge or changing sentiment, I'm just trying to be absolutely candid with you. It's something I've said all along. If I have to revise my script, it would be because the central banks were overreacting. As I've already said, I don't think that will be the case, and my best guess still is that we'll have an all clear signal by the end of October at the latest, and then move into quite a favorable environment for stock markets. Yes, that's despite mean reversion in terms of profits, which is inevitable, as I've already said. And despite some economic slowdown, actually, it's the economic slowdown that enables central banks to back away from the interest rate hikes that creates the environment for the next recovery. And the profits, mean reversion, and the economic slowdown is, of course, already being anticipated by the corrections that we're seeing in stock markets. Now, when I go back in to buy, and I've got a reasonable amount of cash on the sidelines, mostly built up from trading profits over the last few years, somewhat eroded by some of the trading in things like natural gas and even a modest foray into precious metals. But nevertheless, when I go back in more recently, And when I go back in and start buying again, I will be focusing on resources and particularly resources, main resources stocks. CON's item on this today, you know, I already hold the Rio and the BHP Billiton and Inco very much in play. I think a number of these miners that are less than humongous size will be in play. But it's a Rito's item on this today. I certainly endorse that view that he expresses and think this is a really interesting area. And all those mines that he mentioned really ought to be considered as potential acquisitions for those of you who share my thoughts. I'm not buying anything. I'd be surprised if I buy anything before the October period, and I'm certainly not going to buy anything before I get back from excuse me, my August holiday. I'm going to take a quick little sip of water break here because I'm sort of croaking away, which is tedious. Just a moment. Okay, now the other area which, and I will weight even more heavily in this area, will be these Asian markets. And I think I'll probably be spoiled for choice because they've all reacted as I would have hoped in this medium-term correction. And I'm really will top up on the basis of opportunities presented, but one of my acquisitions will be a fund that covers emerging Asia generally. Japan and among the developed countries, Japan and Korea would be high on my potential buying list. Consider Taiwan among the developing countries who I might have a specific position. In fact, Vietnam would be a candidate, quite possibly topping up India. But as I say, I expect to be spoiled for choice, so I'll be influenced by the extent of the reactions, how the patterns look at the time, what sort of leadership we're beginning to see on the recoveries. But there's some great bargains out there, and not least Thailand, which is an old favorite, and that had suffered. More than, well, that I'm not sure this is the case, but I was about to say more than most recently. Percentage-wise, I'm not sure that's the case, but it had the uncertainty over the election situation, which looks like it's been resolved. But the valuations there are terrific. I think they're probably the best in Asia, and other emerging markets, I think, will also certainly be candidates. When I say I'll look at it on a basis of how are they shaping up technically and what sort of bargains are available, what I'm hoping is that the apathy, I've described the current environment after the drama of the sharp sell-off and then a bounce, and then I think things getting quieting down and mostly just sort of ranging about and drifting and so on. I'm hoping that, for instance, with the investment trust closed-end funds for Americans, that the discounts to net asset value widen. Now, that would just make them all the more enticing. And if we get a period of dull market performance, too, let alone any additional fear in the marketplace, between now and the end of October, that would most likely widen those discounts to net asset value. And I never want to buy investment trusts when there's a premium to net asset value. I have on rare occasion in the past, and I've lived to regret it. And so I want nice discounts of 10% or more. But it'll take a more of a correction than we see now to create, than we've seen to date rather. To create that type of environment. Okay, the government bonds. There is hope among investors that these are going to push up, and the chart patterns, the prices push up, that is, not the yields. And the chart patterns suggest that possibility, but it's very much within overall downtrends, very much within a secular bear market environment for government bonds. The yields just aren't good enough, as I've said before. The inflation's in the pipeline, as I've said before, and investors are beginning to rather belatedly to realize that. Although as a relevant digression, as I've said to you before, a lot of the people who are in inflation denial, when I was saying, I've been saying for several years that the seeds of another inflationary cycle would had already been sown, that it was inevitable that they would emerge. And now some of the people who are in denial are shouting about inflation fears and interest rates are going to have to go much higher. Well, eventually, but I don't feel that's going to be the case for the remainder of this year or next. I think we are mostly through the interest rate hikes. I certainly don't think the Fed is likely to push beyond 5 3/4, if that. So there we are in my view. So I don't like this long-dated government bond sector, but if apathy in stock markets and or an additional sell-off in stock markets causes a weight of money to retreat into those government bonds and prices do push up, then I will be looking for additional short selling trading opportunities. In terms of the currency, I've already discussed the dollar here, that the Fed has capped that rally. Remember, there are no hard currencies in this environment. No country wants a strong currency. It's just a question of who wants their currency to weaken more or weaken the most over any given time period, and that's sort of a movable feast. But we've seen Bernanke act to weaken the greenback, and I think that the U.S. Fed Treasury Administration will have a White House administration, I should say, will have a low tolerance for currency appreciation. In other words, they will not want to see the dollar rally, and they will step in to stem the rallies. And there are the structural problems that have been around for really quite some time, for the for the dollar. But the key factor in here is what are various different central banks actually doing? Because this, to repeat the point, no government wants a strong currency in this environment where they do fear deflation, despite the talk about the inflationary pressures that they created, of course. They are fearful of deflationary pressures, which are mostly emanating from globalization, and then the debt overhang. Those are the things they're concerned about, and they will want to inflate away most of that debt. And they will also want to, and the countries that are booming and don't have the debt, such as China, well, it depends where you look. The Chinese banks certainly have plenty of bad debt, but China will not want them going to the wall. China will not want unemployment rising. China will want to keep stoking that GDP growth rate as much as it possibly can. And that's the type of environment we have. And every central bank, I think, just about will try to stoke growth, avoid the recessions, avoid the slowdowns. They won't always succeed in that, but they will more often than not. That tends to put a prop under asset market. Market prices, puts a cushion under asset market prices, I should say. Okay, moving on to the metals, the industrial, I should just put in all the industrial resources, secular bull market. Now, we have seen a corrective phase recently. This was predictable as stock markets moved into their correct predictable corrective phase. I have mentioned that there would be a contagion effect, in that we would, and that's not unrelated to the contraction in the yen carry trade, and that's not unrelated to Japan pulling some of its liquidity out of circulation. Have some of that huge amount of liquidity that they'd poured into the monetary system, and not Bill Gross, Donald Cox talks about that at length in his fine Basic Points report. Incidentally, relevant digression, if you read the opening notes to readers on Basic Points, that is no longer going to be as widely disseminated, so I'm a bit concerned. I do want to continue to provide that report, but I will need some help from some of you to be able to do that in future. One will not be able to go onto the website, in other words, and pick it up, but he will still be writing it. I'm pretty sure of that. Okay. Now, in terms of these resources, so medium-term correction for these as well, and there is that little bit, but lessening inflation, I beg your pardon, contagion risk with these resources. They're in medium-term corrections. It's just about everything that had powered ahead is in a medium-term correction. But this is all within a very powerful secular bull market. I'm a believer in the commodity supercycle, as I've written and said over and over and over again. And so I don't need to really elaborate on that point. I have also said and written a piece. I do think there's a bit of an effort by central banks to cap gold in the short to medium term. And they've done so. I think that high at 7:30 is not going to be taken out until later, until let's say the last quarter of this year at the earliest, and it may well range longer within a consolidation, medium term consolidation phase. And you can understand why Bernanke and other central bankers would want to prevent gold from resuming its upward trend, because what is quite necessary, and Bernanke hinted at this already, that they're hoping that their interest rate hikes have done enough to take some of the froth out of the markets and to blunt the inflationary pressures that they, of course, created. Now, if gold is soaring against a background, that kind of undermines the credibility of any central banker's comments that yes, indeed, they have done their job and put inflation back under their control once again. On the other hand, if the gold market is quiet and ranging $100 or more beneath its high, as is the case at the moment, probably putting it into an accumulation. Well, I think it has put it back into an accumulation zone. Gold in here at 621 as I speak on the spot bullion. And that I think that's a this is an attractive price here in terms of its long-term potential. Again, if gold is price is quiet. And this is say $100 or more off the high, they can say, well, they probably won't attract attention to it, but it won't be an embarrassment to them. Whereas were it to rally back up to 730, let alone higher, then the gold price would be an embarrassment in terms of their current inflation containing exercises. There's a fair amount of humbug on the part of central banks and all of this. As I say, just look at the money supply figures. They know darn well the inflationary pressures that they're creating. And as I mentioned in my piece, the gold market, well, they can influence it in the short term, but really that just stokes it up for a bigger or creates the conditions for an even bigger move on the upside a bit later on. Gold will remain a component of my portfolio far more often than not. And I've mentioned the medium-term corrections for the other metals, all in secular bull trends. Ditto the oil market. Overall, and I do eventually expect much higher prices. I like this industrial resources cycle. The agricultural commodities, choppy, and I haven't had anywhere near as many forays into the agricultural markets as I have in the metals, and I found it harder to make money because of the erratic activity, price activity that we've seen, and the lack of dynamic trends more often than not. So I'm not keen to do a whole lot in that area, although there will inevitably be little opportunities. We're looking at things like lumber, which is getting quite oversold now. You can see that in the library. But with agricultural commodities, something I've haven't mentioned in a while, but I've said over the recent years, is that the best way, if you're interested in that area, and if you're not interested in that area, stay away from it, obviously. But that if you are interested in the area, the time to be considering buying is when a market's really been beaten down and then loses that downside momentum, let alone shows an upward dynamic. Play it on the off the chart signals. The dangers occur when some of these things have been running up, particularly if there's been a bit of hedge fund activity helping to push them up. I think we saw that with cocoa earlier in the month, and then it fell out of bed. And one wants to avoid getting caught in that type of situation if possible. Basically, bottom line, this is a tricky period in all markets. It's not a time for any kind of aggressive trading or investing. It's a time to be thinking, planning, watching, strategizing, getting ready for our next forays into the markets, and for me, most of that will be taking place from the back end of October onwards. And that's it, folks. Wrap for another week. So, just left for me to say, have an absolutely fantastic weekend. All the best.